Well, good evening, everyone. Hope you're all well. Clocks went forward, lighter nights, absolutely love it. On tonight's show, I've got Jester Styles. Yes, he's a magician. Brilliant for radio. Anyway, as always, you know what you're listening to. Yeah, interesting guest, interesting chats, as always. I did some video footage from this interview, so if you go to Dougie Stone on YouTube, you'll see in my vlogs the Jester Style interview. Anyway, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Oh, don't forget, Friday night, it's me, the New Country Show, 7 till 8, Radio Warwickshire. Oh, yeah. And just a quick one before we get on with the show. On Thursday this week, I'm at Edgbaston, and I'm going to be doing some live videos from there with the keynote speakers, with the people that are visiting and exhibiting. So check out my Facebook page. You'll see that coming through. And if you're in Edgbaston, come and say hello, and I'll get you on the show. You've just joined. For those who just joined us, I'm doing an interview with Jester Styles. He's just joined 4M, but he's been around for a while. And we're in a casino in Coventry on a wet Tuesday afternoon. And we're drinking Coke. We're not snorting any, we're drinking it.
You're going to get me a reputation.
Right. So, are you going to do a quick trick for everyone?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, the reason we come here is I get away with stuff, so I can get a lighter and I can take the flame and no one even cares.
Oh, thank you, lollipop.
No one even cares. Do that anywhere else, we get in trouble.
So, we're doing an interview, I'm videoing it on my GoPro as well.
Yeah, we're doing a serious interview, so, apparently. I have to answer real questions and not swear.
So, yeah, we're going to do a serious interview for the radio. We're going to record it on my mic here, got my GoPro there, and then we're just doing this quick video live, so... Come on, do a real trick now.
Shall I stop for me?
Yeah, you've got to go and watch that trick on YouTube. It's really good with the card. It's in the video I did. Go and watch it.
Pardon? Shall I stop for me? Can you remember that one?
Yeah.
I can see it on the camera, so I've seen it now. So we'll try something different. We're going to rip it, so it's now unique. Even if I had a duplicate card, that is yours.
Yeah. Right?
This is the magic bit there. If you blow on there for me... Yeah, most people look here, that it goes here. If you just grab that box.
Yeah, the box.
Give it a shake.
No way.
We'll swap.
Seriously, this has been on the table all the time. No way. That's mental.
Yeah, I basically selected a card from the deck and he ripped it. And then when I opened a box that was been sat on the table, the piece was in there. Absolutely brilliant. Go watch the video. It's great. Anyway, I know it doesn't work on radio, but I had to put it in.
Right. Right. People. This your show, you know what the show's about. It's about adversity, dyslexia and business. And today, I'm in a casino.
We are in a casino.
I'm in a casino. I'm in a casino. What am I doing in here? This show, we're coming live. We're coming from a casino. I'm recording this now because I've come to meet a good friend of mine, Jester Styles. He's a magician. And we're going to be doing some stuff together. He's not only a fabulous magician, but he's also a fellow dyslexic. So
I am. Yeah, I get them both. I've got dyslexia and dyspraxia.
Oh, man. So, double whammy.
Yeah, double whammy.
So what we're going to talk about today is a bit about, obviously, your business and what you do from a business point of view, but obviously what I'm keen to get over to people is how you can get over, you can turn the negative from a negative thing.
Into a positive. Absolutely. And so, when I first met you and you were dressed as a stormtrooper, I think.
Yeah.
You like your novelty t-shirts, don't you?
Yeah.
You had mentioned that you were going to do this, and I said to you at the time, I will get involved, I'll help in any way that I can. And it's now you're flying. Look at you now. I mean, it's an honour for me to be here, because you've been busy.
I have been busy, and I see this is turning to a two-way interview. If you've got to know where you're going and you know what you want to do, things start to drop in place, and all the pennies start to drop,
absolutely.
And opportunities start to come your way. So... I was a bit confused, like probably a lot of people are, about where I was going. And
few months ago, I went to see someone. We had a bit of a, I went on a course and actually come away crystal clear what I was doing.
Perfect.
So what's happened is, from following on from that, so the reason I started this radio show and podcast was I tried to get on radio shows to spread the message.
I like it. Yeah. Because you are the international dyslexic superhero.
That's it. And I kept getting knockbacks or no one was interested in me. So being a dyslexic, and you hopefully you'll relate to this, I thought, well, I'll make me own.
Yeah.
If people will, if people will have me on,
we will get into that
I'll
in a minute,
do my own. So I set
me up. I can't do it, I'll find a way to.
I'll find a way around it. I'm not going to let anything stop me. I'm just going to keep, because this is where I'm going. And then since that, in the last few months, I'm now a columnist for dyslexiamagazine.com. Which is bonkers. A dyslexic being a columnist.
You can't say it, but
I can't even spell it.
No, I can't spell it either.
So you're right, I'm on fire. There's lots of things going on. I've got public speaking gig going on. And everything I want you to do is happening, and it's absolutely wonderful. And I want other people to feel as wonderful as I feel. Yeah?
It seems funny as well, though, you're saying that you can't even spell columnist, because we were just trying to do some social media, just trying to do some tweets. And you are known as the international dyslexic superhero.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I had to say to you, so I'm going to put that in. So I just spelled international. It's dyslexic spelled right, and it's superhero one word or two. I did say that I was going to help you out, and here we are.
Yeah.
So we're celebrating your success by going to a casino.
Yeah, cool.
And, but no, it is funny, like you said, about how no one gave you a chance or no one showed you a way, so you made one.
Yeah.
Because to get back on the track that you wanted to be on, I had to do that with magic.
Right.
I really had to do that with magic. So I don't want to say that I'm self-made, because I have a fantastic support team.
Yeah.
So, okay, maybe I'm self-made, but I'm friend guided. But when you try and get into magic, it's all about old books. And these books are old.
Yeah.
And they're written in a very old-fashioned way that they don't read properly now. And anyone would struggle to read them. So for me, I was like, not only are these words moving, not only are these punctuation doesn't make sense, these words are words I've never even heard before.
Yes, it's a bit like reading Hogwarts or something, like Harry Potter type thing.
You know when you read Shakespeare?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know when you read Shakespeare and he's comparing a large lady to being a sail, and once you've got your head around that, once you've got a teacher with you, you're like, oh, this makes perfect sense.
Right.
But when you haven't got that teacher, you're like, why am I talking about this? And then there's hand-drawn pictures, and these are really old, really old, hand-drawn pictures that make no sense. And my dyspraxia comes in there, and I'm like, right, so that's my right hand.
Oh, my goodness.
Hand-eye coordination gone. So I did exactly what you said. I broke it down. I made it into my own material. I'd watch what people were doing and think, well, I don't know how you've done that. I'm going to have to sit at home and work. But yeah, I didn't learn any. I didn't know any magic until I was 28.
Well, that's so. I expected you to have been.
Everybody
quite
does.
This
is a bit of an exclusive, because I don't tell this to people, because people think that you've learned it since a child. I never did any of that. I didn't know any magic until I was 28.
Wow.
So you know, at school, where you're told, and I'll never ever forget this. And if I was ever doing a foresight, it will be in that. I remember a teacher in the morning.
Assembly.
And I remember standing there and she said, you're all going to be good. There's always going to be something you're good at.
Yep.
There's going to be something that you're good at, that you're passionate about. And I remember thinking, oh, right, okay. And then I watched all my friends discover things that they were good at or what they wanted to do. My friends wanted to be doctors. They wanted to be the police. They wanted to do in the army.
Yeah.
They wanted to be businessmen. They wanted to be graphic designers. And they went off to uni and they did it. I never had anything like that. And when you're out working, I was working my way up in businesses, in retail, in customer service, I was getting manager roles, but I hate it.
Yeah.
I hated the 9-to-5. And it's a horrible thing to be told that one day you're going to find something to be good at, but you be the one that hasn't got it. When you're 27 years old and I'm thinking, well, there's nothing I'm good at. I'm not saying, oh, look at me, give me attention.
Yeah, yeah.
There was just nothing that I was good at. I was mediocre at a few things. The only thing that I was good at was customer service. I could make people happy, I could make people smile.
Right.
And the way the world works, that's always the lowest paid job.
Yeah.
I worked in a toy shop in town and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I was there for 5 years. From the time I was 19 to 20, whatever, 24. And I remember watching all my friends in that time go from bandwidth to pay width to pay width to pay width to getting to moving out of home, to getting their own house, to get a shared house, then get their own house, then get a mortgage. And I was still earning £7.50 an hour. I'm thinking, oh, this has got to change. So I tried to work my way up again, going to jobs that I hated.
Yeah.
And I just used to presume that I was never going to be naturally good at anything. There was never anything I was going to enjoy. And this had a horrible effect. Looking back now, I wouldn't have known at the time how depressed or how down that I was, or insular that I was. Because I was still very popular and I was still going out a lot. I still had a lot of friends, but I was always slightly off. I always watched them thinking, oh, they've got everything, they're really happy, which you do anyway.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was, looking back, it was horrible. Now, who I am now is so different because of the one thing, and it is I found that passion, and I decided that I was going to learn magic, and instantly, the minute that I learnt my first trick, I was like, this is something I could do.
Yeah.
Now, I had no confidence. Because I'd never been good at anything, I had no confidence. And with the dyslexia and the dyspraxia, that batters you,
yeah,
confidence, isn't it? So you learn to control it, which I like to think I've done now, and we'll get to that in later. But I had nothing to give the world, is what I thought. And then I went to learn some magic, then I got involved in a local magic club, and I went to a lecture the same way you were saying you went to a meeting about your, and you came away crystal clear.
Yeah.
I just remember listening to the phrase, a good friend of mine now, his name's Harry, and he's a very, very big magician on the corporate scene, and he said how you have to be a magician, you haven't got to be good at magic, you've got to be good at turning up on time, you've got to be good at being the person that the booker wants to see, being respectful to everybody, being able to control the situation. The magic comes second. And I was like, well, I've spent the last 10 years of my life learning to do customer service.
Well, I was going to jump in then and say, well, you were saying before, the lawyers paying jobs, you actually had the perfect ingredients for what you need for what
suddenly
you're doing.
Suddenly, I was in this lecture hall.
Oh, it makes sense.
I almost wanted to stand up and go, that's me, I'm qualified for this. I've got an MVQ level 3 in customer service. That's absolutely worthless anywhere else. But
well, here,
it's basically, I've been to uni.
Yeah.
I've been to uni and learnt the life skills. And I don't want any, there's probably no magicians going to watch this, but a lot of the magicians that have studied since they were little, yes, they're so technical, they're amazing, they can make a coin disappear here, it can appear over here, fantastic. Put them in a real world, put them in somewhere where people have had a drink or people are a bit leery and they show away.
Yeah.
I sell myself now as a magical entertainer because I am, hopefully, I am entertaining and I can, much more than the magic comes second. So I already had that and I was like, okay. And things started to click and I knew the sort of magic that I wanted to perform. So I managed to skip all the intro stuff, if you want. And because I was learning it my own way, because I wasn't sat there with a book learning bit after bit, I just learned what I wanted to learn.
Yeah.
Because I learned, taught myself. So now if I ever sit down with a collection of magicians and they're showing me all this stuff that they do, I'm like, I don't know how that works. And they're like, really? I'm like, I don't know how to do that. Then I show them, I'm thinking, so they'll do something like, they'll get a card signed and they'll set it on fire and at the ashes they'll rebuild it. I'm like, that's amazing, I don't know how that works. But then I'm like, hang on a minute, I do this. Rip a card up, squish it together, flow in it, and it comes back. And they're like, oh, how do you do that? So it's the same principle, same idea, but go different ways.
And do you think that's the dyslexic, like I was saying before about finding a way through?
Find a way, I'll make one.
Find a way, or find your own thing to do.
Yeah. It has to be. I wanted this so bad. After all those years of not being good at anything, and again, I'm not asking for sympathy, but it's just the way it was. After all those years of not being good at anything and always being substandard and never being proud of who I was, I wanted this so bad that I was going to do absolutely anything and everything that I could. And maybe, you know what? Maybe if my passion had been engineering, maybe I'd have done exactly the same, or I'd have taken myself to university and done it, but it just wasn't. My passion was this, and I'd found it. I just basically Googled magicians and emailed them, and I was really honest and said, look, I'm extremely dyslexic, I'm extremely dyspraxic, I'm trying to learn magic, I'm struggling because the normal methods don't work.
Yeah.
Do you do courses? Do you sell lessons? And a lot of magicians, well, 60-70% ignore the emails anyway. A lot of magicians emailed back saying, yeah, I'll do you a course, £400 for a day. And I was like, all right, okay. Jamie Raven, who came second on Britain's Got Talent, he was not the magician that won it, the one that was the year before, he emailed me back and said, look, if you can get to London, mate, I'll spend the day with you, no problem.
Wow.
So I thought, oh, I've never been to London before. So I did it, and I sat down with him like we're sat down now. And I tell you what, he didn't teach me a single trick. Again, he really talked to me about the business, about what Harry had said, and said how you just be yourself, just be natural, just be a nice person, be someone that people want to hang around with, the magic will come second. So that just cemented what I wanted to do, and that was it then. I was off and running.
Yeah. And that propels you then to do find your own way and your own way of doing,
100%.
Rather than if he showed you two or three tricks, you might not have gone past those two or three tricks.
100%. He just made me think, oh, I'm the right person, this is going to be mine. And then when I started learning tricks, like now I come across as quite confident, and it's great when you've got a persona. When I've got Jester Styles, I can hide behind that persona. And when I first started, I'd go out with my friends just to the bar with a pack of cards in my pocket, a sharpie marker, and I'd sit there and think, right, let's show some magic. Okay, let's really show some magic. It's like, you know when you're trying to get out of the shower, when you're like, right, I'm going to get out of the shower now, but you never do. It's that. So I'd go home and think, I haven't shown anyone any magic. But I was just so nervous and had no confidence, but I so wanted to do it that I ended up getting my logo designed and then creating. And my sister was studying photography at the time, so we got some photos done, like a photo shoot. Then I made my Facebook business page as if I was already out there performing. Yeah. I just put it up there saying, yeah, I wasn't asking for people's money. I was just saying, look, I'm a magician. And what that meant was, when I met people, they were like, show us a trick. And once they've asked, I can't say no.
Yeah.
So I'd bumble through my first trick, and then that was it. Once you got one, you just fires off.
It's confidence for everything you do. And at first, it's a bit like some of the things I do with my videos and my Facebook Pounce interviews and all the rest of it. Even that we did for Facebook Live before. When I first did one of them, it was like, ugh!
Yeah.
But once you start doing them and do them and do them and do them and sort of back yourself into the corner to do them, then they become easier, don't they?
Yeah. You just have to realise that they're going to go wrong. The minute you put live in, it's going to go wrong. It's also, you realise that if I mess up a trick, people always say this to me, what happens if it goes wrong? Well, my best friend in the world is a bomb disposal expert. If he has a bad day at the office, people die. If I fail to find your card or accident or can't finish the trick, we just laugh and move on.
I presume you've got ways of saying it, oh well, I meant to do that, and you do something else and turn it into something else,
especially with the close-up, because the close-up stuff that's mine, and it's I own it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I know it so well that if I mess up, you'd never know. I'd just keep going. Or if I really mess up, then I'll just say, you know what, I've messed it up, let's try something again.
Yeah,
when you're on stage though, there is nowhere to hide.
Good to get over it.
People are going to have to get over it. Just move on to
and
the
like
next
you
one.
Say, no one's died, have they?
No, you exactly. No one's died.
And actually, you could laugh it off and go, oh, well, you know what I mean? So it's how you deal with it. And how you deal with those. So you go away from that problem, evaluate that problem, go, what happened? Why did it go wrong? And what can I do next time to make it so it doesn't go wrong? And just critique it, really.
And again, I think that comes back to the fact that once you've gone through your entire school life being told that you're stupid, this comes back to the dyslexia thing. Once you've been told that you're stupid, or you've been led to believe that you're not very smart, everything else just washes off your back, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, am I right in thinking that you realised you were dyslexic later on in life, lot later?
44. I was in a senior role in a global business.
So you'd already smashed your way through.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was like,
I found something I was really good at, and what I was really good at was, see, I was a manager or a lead, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I didn't like a manager, general manager, whatever. But that's not what I did. I didn't do the management thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Instead, I inspired people, found out what they were good at, give them confidence and let them do it. So I wasn't the normal, typical manager.
So you managed to get through your whole adult life. I'm not saying you're about to die.
Yeah.
But your early adult life, you managed to get through being dyslexic and not realising it.
Yeah.
So, because I'm slightly younger than you, and school had obviously changed a little bit since I was there and you were there. So I got picked up quite early, but was still, in primary school, I was still made to think that I was naughty, that I was stupid, that I didn't understand. The negative effect of that is once you're told you don't understand, that you're not going to get it and you're stupid, you stop.
Yeah.
I remember sitting there thinking, well, I'm never going to be able to do that, so I'm not going to bother.
And that's exactly what I'm trying to achieve with this, because dyslexia and dyspraxia, all those, you know, on the spectrum, are called learning difficulties, and they're also called disabilities. They're both negative. They're both negative things. So if you're right, if you tell someone you're stupid, you think you're not going to be able to do this, or you don't, you're not as, the same as everybody else, you're different.
Then you think, why should I bother?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So my concept is, no, you're different doesn't mean you're stupid.
One of the brilliant advantages of me being, I was going to say local celebrity then, that's a bit bigger.
Oh, yeah, you do.
But one of the great advantages I have now with my job role and my persona is I get to go into schools and do confidence boosting. I work with a fantastic company called PetXI, and they work up and down the country, going into schools, doing confidence boosting and doing key subjects. So I'll go in with a maths teacher or an English teacher, and they'll teach them the subject, but I'll make it fun, and also I'll get their confidence up and make it worthwhile. Make them understand that it's worthwhile, and of course do some magic, and they'll be like, okay, this guy's pretty cool, right, let's do a bit of maths for him. And I can see how it's different now, still different now than it was, but it's still a stigma, it's still a thing.
Yeah.
And the coping mechanisms are different now, and they teach things differently, but it's still seen as a negative.
Yeah, because if you come from an academic background, as teachers have come from an academic background in universities and all the rest of it, they know they can learn, and they can't comprehend what you're going through. And what I think people don't realise, it's almost when they're in school trying to shoehorn these kids into learning to read.
Definitely.
Would they do the same with a kid that was blind and say, "Oh, I'm really focused," and you'd be able to see the stuff on the
if
he was deaf or they couldn't walk, would they come on, try a bit hard, you'd be able to get out of that chair. If you try a bit hard, you'd be able to run that 100 metres. It's bonkers, isn't it? So bonkers.
The first primary school that I went to, I got moved primary schools halfway through. And I remember doing the reading, and you took your book to the teacher or the TA and you read.
Yeah.
And I remember my mum was a teacher. She was a very, very high key stage reception, key stage one, key stage two leader throughout Coventry. She was very well known, very well respected. And she'd be like, "Are they not reading with you today?" And I don't remember these conversations, but it turns out that because I was difficult to read with, I just never got to read.
Right, yeah.
They were like, let's
give up on him.
Everyone else was reading like once every 2 days, and I was reading once a week.
Yeah.
There was other problems there, and then because you grow up like that, you start to think that you're naughty, you start to think you're trouble. So I messed around. I was a nightmare. My first primary school was a nightmare because I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And then they transferred me. They moved me. My mum and dad pulled me out, and I went to a different school where it was treated a lot differently, and suddenly I was able to read books, or at least have a good go, and that made a massive difference. I hate to think who I would have been if I'd have stayed in that first school.
Yeah, what tends to happen is dyslexic kids or people on the spectrum tend to go one of a couple of ways. Either they become the class clown, fool around. Yeah?
That was
me.
Look at me. Yeah.
I'm a bit like that, funnily enough. Or they can go around the other route where they go down the wrong route and they can become violent, frustrated.
Yeah, I was a bit bad. I was violent and frustrated when I was younger, a lot younger. But then secondary school, I was like, "Oh, I don't want to be a thug." Basically, I was like, "I don't want to be a thug."
Well, that's what people do.
Yeah,
that's
so
why
I just
how they
flipped
go down.
It. Then I put this Jester Styles. Yeah, the Jester Styles persona has been with me since I was 13, 14. Way before there was any magic. And that was exactly it. I wanted to be like, "All right, they're going to laugh at me because I can't read or write. They may as well laugh at me because I'm funny." And that's exactly how I spun it. And of course, that got me in a lot of trouble. But I was also quite charming with it. And it got me into a lot of good situations. But then I think I was hiding behind that persona a lot more as a young adult. A lot more. And then, again, finding the magic gave me something to balance it out. And now... Right now, I'm pretty damn happy with who I am, but that's taken 33 years.
Oh, no, I am on 51, and since 44, I'm a lot happier, but over the, 44 to where I am now, my life is completely transformed. The way I feel about myself, the way I view the world and what I'm about has totally changed.
Yeah, so. I see people going through it now, and I just want to kind of grab them and be like, "You know what, you're going to be amazing," especially when I go into these schools.
Yeah.
I just want to grab people and be like, "You are life gets better, you are going to be amazing." But schools change the way you actually have to pass exams to leave now. There was one of the lads I was working with, I'll never forget it. He was
the kids at 50 leaving school.
Yeah, well, this lad that I was working with, he had the ability to look at anything and know how it worked, and he would read manuals,
yeah,
and he would buy off eBay with his pocket money, old manuals for old cars, for TVs, for videos, anything that had wires and stuff he was interested in. No interest in actual maths and no interest in English. So the school had had him down as being a challenge, difficult to work with, an academic. But his anything he could fix. He says he wants to build robots when he wanted to build robots to police the streets like RoboCop.
Was like, was that back when he was at school?
Yeah, this is in now. He's still in school now.
He's going to be...
Yeah, exactly.
He's coming. Terminator.
Yeah, well,
Skynet. He's doing it. Skynet.
But yeah,
in the sky dome. Skynet.
I was like, mate, I know I can get you through this English course. We've got a teacher with us who's going to sit with us and do it. Just play the game. We'll do some magic. You can teach me about robots. We'll do some English. And he ended up getting his mark up and we got him through.
That's a really good thing that you're doing there. Really good.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Excellent. I'm trying. So, should we do a little bit of magic? Oh, before we do that, tell everyone where they can find you.
Where they can find me? Well, on a Tuesday, I'm in a casino.
Is it Tuesday or Monday?
It's definitely Tuesday today. It's Shrove Tuesday. We're having pancakes later. If anyone's wondering, we did a Facebook Live video. And that you started with, what do you do on a Monday afternoon?
In the cold winter's day.
It's Tuesday. Where can you find me? You can find me on Instagram at Jester_Styles. Same as Twitter.
Yep.
Facebook, I'm on facebook.com/JesterStylesMagic, all one word, and JesterStyles.com.
Excellent.
And that's it. You can also find me pretty much any big corporate or wedding event in the Midlands, which is nice to say. So
superb. So should we do, what we'll do now, I think, is we'll do a bit of magic. The Dougie
Stone Show. Yeah, like I say, go and check out the YouTube for that video, because we did a bit of magic then. The trick blew me away at the end of it. It was nuts. So search Dougie Stone on YouTube. You'll see the video with Jester Styles, and it was really great. So thanks for being on the show, Jester. Really appreciated your time. Had a phenomenal morning, and we must do it again soon, mate. And good luck with what you're doing with your business and with the kids that you're working with. I think it's a really great thing you're doing. You're paying it forward. You're helping people out, and that's testament to you, mate, about what you're about. So thanks a lot, Jester. Go and check him out, people. If you've got an event, why not think about getting a magician in? And Jester's quite a good one. I know a couple of magicians, and Jester's really good. So great guy. Thanks a lot, mate. The Dougie Stone Show. Well, I hope you enjoyed it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I just wanted to say a big thanks for everyone that tunes in every week and listens to me, and if you're on the podcast, please subscribe. Thanks very much. So yeah, Radio Warwickshire, you're listening to me on Radio Warwickshire every Tuesday night, 6:30, for the... You was expecting this thing then, weren't you? Well, this is the extended version. So yeah, I just thought I'd tell you a bit about what's going on at the moment. Like I said at the start, on Thursday this week I'm at Edgbaston to do some video interviews and whatnot with the people there for the Business Growth Show with Mark Linton. So I'm looking forward to that. Fantastic. And that's another thing, a daft idea, pants interviews. I go around interviewing people at meetings. Mark likes it, wants it as an event, so it's turned into a bit of a thing. So come along, come and say hello. I'll be doing some podcasts from there, some videos, vlogs, and come and say hi, and I get you on the show. That can't be bad, can it? And on a Friday night, I do a new country music show. Yeah, it's the Dougie Stone new country show on a Friday night. This week, I'm going to be live. So why not hook up with me on Twitter at Dougie Stone Show, or search Kurt Pickstone on Facebook. Send me some messages. Give us some support, because it's going to be the first one ever. I've had a little dry run. But yeah, it's good. And some other things I've been working on. I'm really into doing public speaking. I want to inspire, motivate, and get people out there. Last week I was with Jamie Denyer down in Port Talbot and another five amazing people talking to unemployed youths and young adults. And it was part of the Inspiration Nation. And there's a little vlog, funny enough, on my Dougie Stone YouTube channel. Go and check it out. But we plan to take that around the country. So we want to change things, and we're determined to do it, and we will achieve that goal. So if you know anyone that wants support and can help us out in that direction, then please let me know, drop me a line. So have an amazing week, people. I'll see you next Tuesday, same time, same place. And if not, join me Friday. Please join me Friday. Give us some love, because it's going to be a bit of a laugh. Yeehaw!